I believe she's an ornery old bitch.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify anime and animation.
And I, Ruth, stay mystified about the anime, but I love my animation.
It's the penultimate episode of Has-Been Hotel.
Boo.
I know. On one hand, I'm really excited that this is the finale, but then I'm remembering that there's not going to be another episode for however so many years, and going by Amazon standards, maybe never. So I'm like, but never mind. Let's review what we've got now, which is Hello, Rosie.
Let's enjoy what we have, people,
while it lasts. So yeah, Hello, Rosie, which is episode 7. So it opens with everybody moping around the hotel lobby, feeling very dejected. So the news has been broken to them that Vaggy is a fallen angel, and that basically the angels laughed in Charlie's faces and said there was no proof whatsoever that her project worked, and that they're actually being okay to Vaggy. They're not being nasty, they're not being mean. I mean, okay, Nifty pointed this out, that she's got non-existent tits, but then that's just the sort of thing that Nifty says. So
that was when they asked where her wings were.
Yeah, that's true. And they point out that maybe Charlie isn't the best of leaders, that everything that she's done has made things go from bad to worse, which obviously makes Vaggy feel terrible. And then Alistair realises that there's something that he can do, and he dematerialises upstairs in some smoke. Charlie, poor thing, is curled up in bed in a blanket on
Nose poking out.
I know, on Vaggy's side. Razzle and Dazzle are trying to give her tissues and so on and cheer her up, but it's not really working. And I do feel like they're pushing Razzle and Dazzle a bit hard, which to my mind suggests that they're probably going to die.
What do you mean pushing them?
Well, we've barely seen them in all series. Like, the only time they made a deal out of them otherwise was when Lucifer came and kind of mildly threatened them into taking care of Charlie. But I suppose they are kind of like, if she's a Disney princess.
The bluebirds.
I know, Emily. They're kind of little satanic goat things.
Or little bunny rabbits or whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, Alistair says that he can help her. She thinks he's just there to kind of gloat at her misery and smirk and not
get in her pants.
No, as has already been stated and is confirmed later in the episode, Alistair
but
is ace.
But don't you find it predatory?
Yeah, he is sticking his hands all over her neck and
exactly.
Kind of invading her personal space. But that just seems to be how he is when he's trying to make a deal. But he says, no, it's not for her soul. It's about information. And she thinks anything is worth a try. So they do. They shake on it, which causes
one favour to be recalled at a time of my choosing.
Exactly. Mm. Which, of course, causes green lightning to go everywhere and cracks to appear in the hotel.
And Vaggy's downstairs. Vaggy's like, oh, shit.
And then darts upstairs. And she, again, naturally assumes that she made a deal with her soul. But she explains that Alistair's told her about how angels can be killed. And who is better to go and find out how to use this information but her? So Vaggy goes to see Carmilla. Carmine. I've been saying that wrong
Camilla Carmine, all this
time, aggravatingly, but never mind. Well, Charlie pops off to Cannibal Town with Alistair. So these are the two main subplots, or rather just main plots of the episode. So Charlie's dealings in Cannibal Town and Vaggy with Carmilla. Who should we deal with first?
Oh, well, obviously we have to do the lesbian disco training subplot.
Oh, yeah, okay. So
montage even.
So when Vaggy goes to see Carmilla in her mansion stroke fortress, Carmilla is not impressed with her reasoning. She basically does a countdown like your mum does when you're being a bit naughty and she wants you to just fuck off and go to bed. So Vaggy keeps explaining what she's trying to do, and she just keeps taking a few more seconds off it until she tells her that she's out of time. And she has managed to notice what nobody else did previously and recognize her as an exterminator because she has an angelic weapon and a cross over one eye. And Carmilla points out that the reason that she was able to kill the angel was due to the angelic weaponry, so i.e. pretty much
her shoes contain angelic metal.
Yeah, they are literal stilettos. So we see a flashback to the day that she fought against that angel that attacked her and her kids, and she was able to slice its head off with her shoes.
They were surrounded.
Yeah, which was just badass.
So she cleared the blockage.
And while they're fighting, at first, Faggy comes across as absolutely hopeless, never mind that she's trained in this kind of thing. And Carmilla points out that's because she is used to thinking as an angel.
She's invincible.
Yeah, she's completely invulnerable and leaving herself open to all sorts. And Carmilla is sexy. So you've basically got these hot Amazonian women flying at each other with their shoes and their spears and to a fantastic song that's...
Disco... As I said, disco lesbian training vibes.
And yeah, Faggy is cut up about the way that that Charlie has treated her, because she is kind of in the doghouse. She hasn't been thrown out exactly, but it is nonetheless clear that Charlie believes that maybe she's been lying to her about their whole relationship, not just the whole angel thing. And Carmilla's saying that you don't need to do this out of hate, because she realises that's what Vaggy's doing it for. You've got to do it out of life. Love. I need some water. So this obviously hardens Vaggy's resolve, and she fights much more effectively when she's thinking of Charlie.
And the wings come out.
I know, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's sort of golden light, out pop her wings. Because originally when we saw Charlie and Faggy together, because there was a picture that I don't think we were supposed to see, and it shows Faggy with wings, and that's what made everybody start going, oh, maybe she's a fallen angel. Although previously, because we thought that she was a moth sinner, then it was just, oh, those are her moth wings. But no, this is quite definitely her angel wings.
Yeah. And
so we now turn to Charlie in Cannibal Town, because how do we describe Cannibal Town? It's very red and grey about the palette.
Everybody's dressed like they're in the Victorian era.
Yeah,
it's like My Fair Lady's Edwardian. When is Hello Dolly set? Either way, that's sort of like 1912, just before World War One look.
Yeah, I was thinking the kind of like Downton Abbey gone to hell, or
I was thinking. Definitely Hello Dolly.
Hell.
Hell, oh Dolly.
Yeah, sort of like Gilbert and Sullivan if it was good.
No, not Gilbert and Sullivan. That was way before. That was like 20, 30, 40 years before.
So they're Victorian rather than Edwardian. Okay. Yeah. Right, okay.
I think.
But fair enough. So he takes her to meet Rosie in her cannibal emporium. So Rosie is an incredibly powerful overlord who we met in episode 3, if I remember right.
Who sounds like Bette Midler. Is it Bette Midler, or is it more like La Streisand when she was younger?
I'm thinking, due to the way that she looks and everything, that possibly is a nod to Streisand and Hello Dolly. And she's the one that finally confirms that Alistair is ace, but he doesn't seem to understand.
He always knew you were an ace in the hall.
Yeah, but he doesn't quite understand what that means. I guess it's because he was...
What now?
He was alive before those labels existed. So they explain to her what Charlie's trying to do. And she says that she should be able to help her get the cannibals on side, but there is one particular cannibal who's going to present them with a problem.
Susan. Now, Rachel, what is your middle name?
Fuck off. Who looks and acts exactly like my grandma, even down to the glasses. And of course, when we first see Susan, she does this. She's basically like that old lady in The Princess Bride, is going boom, boom, at the back. So Charlie is trying to tell...
Yeah, blow bud, bitch!
Yeah, trying to tell an audience full of cannibals about her idea and about how... that they have to fight as they've never fought before, because Adam has got his army pointed right at the hotel's doorstep.
She's just every line.
And she basically tells her, she's, what was it? Shut up, you old bitch, or something like that. Which is
fuck off, you old bitch.
Yeah, quite understandable. And obviously,
you actually see the veins in Charlie's eyes.
And seeing as she almost never loses her temper, you just know how passionately she feels about this. So, yeah, Rosie takes her aside for a quick timeout. And This is when she speaks to Rosie about Vaggy, saying that she does feel betrayed. And Rosie makes the incredibly good point, which I think some people on the internet should take in mind as well. Because this is what gets me, right? Because people find...
I don't care about people on the internet. Let's talk about the story.
No, but people are finding out that their partner is not who they thought they were is such a trope in fantasy. Like the number of people who are vampire slayers and then end up shagging vampires or all these other things. And yet somehow, if it's a queer character doing it, it's like, oh, their relationship's over. She's a liar. She's evil, etc.
Old trope, not even in fantasy.
Yeah.
So if you look at any movie from the 90s, before bi identity had been established as like in the public eye, you know, no bi identity.
Yeah.
It was always like, my husband's lying to me, he's gay. My wife's lying to me, she's a lesbian.
Oh, yeah. Particularly the psychotic moment in Bad Girls. When he didn't even find out at this point that she
Bad
was...
Bad Girls, the ITV drama.
Set in a prison. So basically the governor, Helen Stewart, finds herself falling in love with Nikki, one of the prisoners. And she is engaged to the world's most boring man, Sean. And
at this, Sean the prawn.
And at this point, she doesn't actually come out to him, although possibly he guesses. And she's like, I can't marry you. And the next time we see Sean, he turns up at her work and sets fire to his wedding suit right in front of everybody, including the woman
yeah,
she loves.
Yeah, he sort of like builds a scarecrow and of himself.
It's horrible. I get that you probably had people kind of going, I thought that my husband or wife was totally straight, but now I realize I've got this secret life. But it's just like, no, they never did it from the bi perspective, and that just sucked. But Rosie makes the incredibly valid point. It's like, well, isn't your hotel for redemption, and isn't Vaggy the first person she's redeemed, really? I mean, it might not necessarily be in the way she expected, because of course she was an angel that fell in love with a sinner, but she was able to unlearn all the ideas that she must have had about demons being evil and soulless and hateful and wanting to help them and wanting them to get better.
Now, in the outtakes, this was actually my idea to raise this from the bi-identity perspective.
Okay, yeah, I know. Fair enough. So Rosie gets Charlie to go back out again and give it another shot. And it is just like fantastic music in the space of 5 minutes. So you've already had the lesbian training montage. And now you have Charlie going Les Mis and the cannibals loving it, even Susan.
I mean, is it going well? Even if that was me, that was something I said. I was like, oh, it's Les Mis.
I've been saying this for ages. Yeah, marching on the spot. Look, I'm not ripping off your ideas. It's just I previously said in the last episode that it looked like it was going to go Les Mis. And this song was prominently used in the trailer. So that was obviously what they were going for. And it's just a wonderful number. You see Charlie being a leader, coming to her own as the princess of hell. I mean, Alistair and Rosie are talking about how much potential she has, which again is a big step forward for Alistair, because normally he just kind of shit talks everybody and puts them down. But when Charlie's not listening, he's saying that he's proud of her and that she's doing a great job. And Rosie's like, yeah, if we're on her side, then we're going to win. I mean, okay, one of the big incentives for the cannibals is that they're going to have as many angels as possible to eat afterwards. But
the food is angelic. I want to know what angel wings taste like.
I don't know, KFC, I have no idea. But it gives them hope, which after all is what they desperately need. And you have Charlie reaching up to heaven in the distance, because it's kind of like a is it a winged like sun?
It looks like a sun with crap coming out of it.
Which is just another example of how cruel heaven is, that it just sticks that bang in the sky so everybody that's in hell
wish you were here.
I know, parted from their loved ones. It's just looking
See
up at
what
us.
You're missing.
I mean, we did actually speculate a while back that that possibly Adam, being a complete and utter knob, could tell people, oh yeah, you could ring your friends in heaven, and then instead of actually being put through to them, it'd be a voicemail of him going, ah, gotcha, you cunts, ha ha ha. So it's basically like the sky version of that. So Poor things. So, yeah, Charlie is now galvanised to return to the hotel, and she is really moved and touched to see that everybody is still there. And obviously so is Faggy, because she did tell them before she left that she would understand if they all just cleared out, because they didn't sign up to be part of a war. They just wanted to redeem themselves, and in the case of Angel, just crash and get free booze. But
no, they've been reinforcing the house.
Yeah, Sir Pentius has been doing something with his egg boys. Oh, and it let slip. Then Vaggy was understandably irritated about this earlier, that Frank mentioned that he knew about Carmilla. Yeah, I mean, obviously he got her name wrong, but he was like, knife lady said the blah, 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 blah. And they were like, you knew? And they looked at Sir Pentius because he was like, I told Boss ages ago.
They dog shit all the time.
And then he gave an example of other shit that they said. And they were like, okay, fair enough.
My favourite is, what? Did you think we were pussy?
Yeah, he's very offended that everybody thought that they would just desert them. And Charlie sees Faggy and hugs her, compliments her on her wings.
Wings are nice.
So they have clearly made up. It is back on. And
she got her a little shrunken head key ring.
Oh, how cute. I mean, I wouldn't want one, but no. Okay. But yeah, Faggy recognises it as a peace offering and is happy about
it. What was the favourite thing that anybody... What is the favourite thing that I've ever given you? I know for you, it's when you gave me that Le Creuset mug. Because I always wanted an orange Le Creuset mug because it matched my nan's pans back home. And it just made me think of, like, nice and stable and warm happiness.
Probably you taking me to see Death Note. At the risk of being very on brand, because I never thought I was ever going to be able to see it in the UK. So being able to go down and see...
For the UK premiere.
Exactly, for the first English language performance ever, anywhere. So, and in seats...
First English language performance staged anywhere.
Yeah, so...
Oh, it's like a workshop.
Yeah, so getting to sit in seats... L1 and L2, although that was a total coincidence.
As somebody tried to say that they were her seats, they were.
It was like,
it.
Fuck off.
Fuck right.
We bought them, or rather, you bought them.
I'm like, show me your ticket. I like it when people, if you ask people for proof, and you say, because I've got my proof right here.
Yeah, she has a very good resting bitch face, and people generally do back down when they see it. So we back to
hell of a has been
back to. Oh yeah, speaking of hell of a references, I know the word moxie means courage, but Rosie kept going on about how Charlie had so much moxie, so that just made me giggle and think of a certain little demon.
Well, I mean. Moxie and Charlie, they are quite similar.
Yeah, I can see them getting along.
They've
well if they ever met.
They've got strong female partners.
Yeah. They both like musicals. They're both, I don't know, I mean, you couldn't actually call Moxie sheltered, could you all consider? But he still acts like he is the hero of some kind of Disney film, despite obviously being ex-mafia. I guess that's his way of coping with his past. But anyway, back to has-been. So it's clearly the penultimate episode where things are looking bright before they get dark again. But at least we know that all of our main cast members are wanting to fight together on the same page. Their friendship, because doesn't Huss say that this is probably the nearest he will get to admitting how fond he is of everyone, that he didn't want to find new drinking buddies.
He just puts his arm around Angel Dust.
I know. So even if those two don't get involved romantically, although they are supposed to, it's just nice seeing two such different people become friends and be willing to kind of fight and die alongside each other, although hopefully it won't come to that. So what would you give the score on the door for this episode?
5.
Yeah, I know, they've all been
out of 5.
They've all been straight 5s. I can't, the only one I would give a 4, and even then it's no reflection on the quality of the episode, just because it upset me so much, is episode 4. All the rest of them, have just been...
I thought we gave that one a 3.5.
Absolute stunners. 3.5, 4, whichever. But all the rest of them, the music is amazing. The voice acting is peerless. The animation, oh my God, you do just want to get in there and just walk around it. It's just...
It is, like, the first time you... The only thing I can compare it to is the first time that you saw the 1991 Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
You know, when you first saw that ballroom scene for the first time?
Well, for me, it was always the library. Either way, just you want to just run up to everything and touch it and spin around the room, and it's just...
And the fact that you can almost reach out and touch.
Yeah. Although apparently...
Nice CGI there, Vivzy.
Yeah, apparently there is going to... Well, there's talk that Hasbin might be going to Broadway. So that would be exciting. And I would love to go if we could, although...
If you're listening, Vivzy, you know, a couple of flights.
She's not going to do that.
Absolutely not. Although... We'll have to save up.
And that's the good thing about having it absolutely chocker with Broadway stars.
This is coming to London. Come to London!
Ah, that's true, yeah.
Actually, no, the way flights are at the minute and the way London hotels are, come to New York, come to New York.
I mean, I know there are way more British Helluva and Hasbin fans than I ever thought, because I just assumed for years that we were the only ones. But no, they're building... And the good thing about it being absolutely chocker with Broadway stars is they don't even have to recast. They can just have absolutely everybody from the main cast only in, well, wacky costumes, I suppose.
Yeah, I would love that. Oh, God, I would love that.
I mean, you'll probably get people trying to go, ooh, close down this foul show, because 1 million moms have apparently tried to raise a petition. And so far, they've only got, like, I don't know, maybe 21,000. And as Vivzy pointed out, if they don't have 1 million signatures, are they really 1 million moms? So, right, so we're getting slightly off topic now.
What, they were trying to close it down?
Well, yeah, like they did with Good Omens. They basically do this every single time there is a show which has the devil in it as a main character. Because they did it with God, the Devil and Bob, didn't they? And they succeeded. Which is ridiculous. And they kept saying, it makes Satan look attractive. And it's like, who the heck is Satan in Hasbin Hotel? He doesn't appear once.
Well, Lucifer.
Yeah, but completely different person. That's just showing that they just don't know their sources.
Hang on, wait, what? Satan's not the same as Lucifer? I thought that was one of the same name.
No, Satan... Right, so Lucifer is the fallen angel.
I mean, it's not my mythology, so, you know.
Satan is the adversary stroke, lawyer stroke, whatever it is that bothers people. But either way, they are two separate characters, and they certainly are in the Helluverse, because... I think we're going to be meeting Satan at some other point. We know he's like this big buff dude that has a gym. So, there were talks that it could possibly be Chris Sabat at one point, because there was a photo of Viv with him, although they could just have run into each other at a con or something. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be in the show, but I would love that personally.
That's great. Now,
yeah, okay.
We have one episode left. I don't want to rush it, but... I haven't had my breakfast
yet.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I will feed my hungry girl and then... yep, she's going all cannibal here. And then we'll get back onto it with another episode. Which, due to bloody this podcast software not allowing you to do two episodes on the same day, I'll have to...
You should release tomorrow.
I will have to release it tomorrow. But never mind. At least it's while it's fresh and in everybody's minds. And so... Like entrails. So anyway, until next time, love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.